Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Now, Joel, I want to just quickly recap something that you and I talked about last week. Coming up on Friday, we have the Quad Witch, which is a lot of options expiration, a lot of volatility that we can expect around these individual dates. Plus, we also have Tesla being added to the S&P. This is all timing, again, with really the last full trading week of 2020. So undoubtedly, you are going to see some portfolio dressing by some of the major money managers just to show positions at the end of the year. What do you think this means heading into the end of the year, Joel? Could all this, the Quad Witch and the fact that Tesla is added to the S&P, could this all mean that money managers put maybe a little bit extra cash into these markets at the end of this year?
It's a tough call. And thanks for having me, Corey. You know, these Quad Witch expirations are, you know, offered turning points in the market. You know, whether it's a strong continuation of the trend, of the uptrend, or you get one of these blow off tops and, you know, where, you know, the balances are just so slew to the upside that takes stocks and futures to artificially, you know, prices that they're unable to sustain. I think the fact that, you know, having such a large component added to the S&P 500 index, you know, what are the managers are going to do? Are they going to have to sell the other stocks in order to make room for Tesla? Not all the stocks, but are they going to have to at least trim some of their holdings to make room for it? Also, you have the NASDAQ 100 rebalancing on Friday with all the, as I mentioned, options and futures expirations. You got a recipe for some real volatility. And I think instead of trying to anticipate the volatility, sometimes it's always better to, you know, play the counter reaction, you know, from the, you know, if you have a super high, you know, just crazy run up expiration day, you know, maybe look to fade that. If they unmercifully, you know, pound the market on that day, kind of use that as a buy the dip opportunity. But you have a confluence of events coming up at the end of the year where you know they're trying to make their portfolios look good, and after this kind of year probably being down 25-30%, now being up, you know, nearly that much, sure, a lot of managers like to close the books on the year and look forward to 2021.
Oh, I'm sure they do, and as do I, Joel. Now, one other thing to consider is that the next 2 weeks, they are shortened trading weeks, too. Do you expect the volatility, A, on Friday to be maybe a bit greater because, again, all this other stuff, but then that volatility to carry over into the following couple weeks because of the fact that people will be away from their desk? It will be lower volume days.
Where are they going, Corey?
That's true. Hey, maybe they just want to turn away from it.
I don't know. I mean, I'd love to take a vacation, and where am I going to go? What am I going to do? So, no, I, you know, there's usually pretty good trading action. There's pretty good volatility. Maybe the volume will taper off a little bit, but no, it'll be a busy week this week, and I don't think we'll taper off too much the week of Christmas. I mean, a little bit maybe, you know, on the Christmas holiday, you have a little bit of a early closing. They both close on, they both land on Friday this year. I think you'll have a shortened day on Christmas, but I'm pretty sure you have to have a full trading day on the last trading day of the year. So, I don't see these markets calm down. You know, you have your overnight ranges, you have your news, you have your retail traders. I think all the components will be there for some continued action.
Okay, let's quickly talk about tech and more specifically Apple, because Apple is doing very well today. A lot, I think, on the back of the news that they will be increasing pretty significantly their iPhone production early next year. I think the number is around 30% increased production. Yeah, this is a bullish, or I guess, yeah, bullish outlook for the future, especially early on next year. Do you think it's warranted? And do you think this speaks to a bigger picture that big tech might come on everyone's radar again?
You know, I was reviewing, we're putting together like a year in review, of the shows and things that we covered during the COVID January and February. And it was interesting. And I noticed in one of the shows that Apple was one of the first companies to say, hey, our earnings are going to be impacted by this. And they were way out ahead of it. So if they were out ahead of it, anticipating the negative aspect of it, maybe they're ahead of the curve and, you know, in predicting an upturn in, you know, in the economy back to normal, or back to as normal as we can be, you know, under the current circumstances. So you admit it, you had the post-split run-up in Apple. You had the blow-off to 137.98. It got caught up in the tech wreck. And then it persisted in a trading range between 114 and 126. Spent a lot of time just above 120, below 120. Today's news is, you know, lifting it up toward, you know, over, potentially over the top of the trading range. So you get a close up here, it holds it for another day or two, then you have the top component in the index moving higher. And even though Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and Facebook are in the red today, Apple and its components, you know, are providing the juice in the market today. Be interesting to see if it can sustain these gains. This is one of the best days it's had, I believe, since July when it had an earning, you know, when they really liked it off an earnings play. So looking at your leader and making sure it's still the leader here for the remainder of the week and into expiration.
All right. How about these lagging sectors then, Joel, that have gotten a buy? Some of these lagging sectors were getting a buy a couple months ago. And just recently, we're seeing some of the real lagging sectors like airlines and cruise lines. Those are even starting to get bid up. But this is, again, all on the back of vaccine news and really just hope that we can go back out sometime next year and start getting back to daily life. Is there more room to run in some of these real lagging sectors?
I mean, I like to look at the levels that the issues were back in February, and some of them haven't, you know, reached those levels. So if things are going back to normal, then maybe these prices should go back to the areas that they were in February, you know, before the whole market fell off a cliff. I just think what's in anticipating that, you know, people, when this is all said and done, they're going to want to get the hell out. They're going to want to travel. They're going to want to do things. And that would be good for the airlines, obviously, the cruise lines and the hotels. So I think there's a lot of optimism already priced into this. And besides the optimism being priced in, the market's pretty much ignoring, you know, any negative news. Rising cases, rising deaths, New York City talks about shutting down, and the market just seems to ignore that. So when the market's acting that and reacting, you know, favorably to good news and bad news, it's hard to fight the tape.
Yeah, it really is. But I think it's just showing, again, how much money is still in these markets. That also ties in with some of the recent IPOs. We saw Airbnb and DoorDash IPO just recently, and they IPO'd quite a bit above where they were initially priced. They have faded a little bit from some of those highs, but just again goes to show that when the IPO market is this frothy, it carries over to a lot of other markets because of all the money that is in these sectors.
Yeah, and the SPAC market, I mean, you know, the Chinese electrical vehicles, the SPAC market, investors are, you know, turning to that for alternatives. You have Ackman coming with a SPAC, Starboard. So you got some pretty smart money, you know, bringing SPAC and bringing some of these companies public. The Airbnb and the DoorDash, they got a little excited on that, but I'm glad because I'd like to see. I don't know if you've heard the interview with the CEO on CNBC of the CEO that I believe of Airbnb. And, you know, their business model is to, you know, help their providers. They set aside, I believe, a portion of their profits in order to help improve properties an endowment. I think the I heard the owner of the company on CNBC, and he said he was putting $100 million of his own stock toward this endowment. And what they envision is that, you know, people are going to be getting out. People are going to be wanting to do things, and you know, they want to go to a, you know, a small smaller place at a discount, have less exposure to people, maybe cook a little bit of their own food. So of those two IPOs, that's one that I'm keeping a little bit closer an eye on. I don't know, DoorDash, when we come out of this COVID environment, is they're going to have the same kind of sustainability. But that's a look at the recent IPOs for me.
So, Joel, if we take all this in a big picture sense, the market is telling us that the economy is going to do better next year. Apple, some of the largest companies, are also telling us that they're expecting a general uptick in their sales, so a bit better outlook for next year. Does everyone need to reanalyze their expectations for next year regarding easy money policies and regarding what governments might do in terms of stimulating stuff when it comes to some of the safer assets and think, well, maybe the market is telling us that we're getting back to normal and maybe I shouldn't be moving into these safety assets?
I mean, it's, you know, you don't know until you know, right? And, you know, right now, I mean, the market is, you know, it's built on the gains from a strong year. I guess the only thing, you know, I kind of keep an eye on, and I don't know if it's going to be a determining factor, if, you know, somehow the Senate flips, you know, to Democrat, you have a Democratic House, a Democratic president, and a Democratic Senate, there might be a little trepidation there about the markets. I'm not sure when that Georgia runoff is, but it's always better to have a little checks and balances in the White House, you know, as opposed to having one party ruling the roost. So, you know, interest rates aren't going up, right? And, you know, there's going to be some more stimulus. There's talk there's going to be stimulus before a year end just to keep the government going. But, you know, the Fed put is there, and, you know, until it's proven otherwise.
Yes, it is. And hey, we're going to hear from the Fed again tomorrow. I don't think we're expecting a whole lot new out of them. Who knows? Maybe something on yield curve control, but really it's going to be the Fed saying the government needs to do something so that we can monetize it, yada, yada, yada. All that they've said in the last couple meetings, but I think next year is going to be so important to see what the Fed actually does when they have the opportunity to monetize some debt that comes out of the government. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the recordings of your pre-market prep show. Great chatting with you, Joel. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you next Tuesday.